To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. All right, we are here with someone who I already have fallen in love with, Christine Woodward. She is amazing. She owns a company called 19th and Company, or 19th and Co. How do you say it? I should ask you this.
19th and Co. Yeah.
19th and Co. And she's brilliant. She is an architect and interior designer. Things like with Harvard and all kinds of other stuff that she was throwing out there. And what she has done is you were in the interior design world doing architecture and all kinds of other stuff for what, 15 years or so. But now you have shifted into being more of a consultant. And I'm going to have you talk about that more because you're not just a consultant. There's a lot more involved with that. So take us on your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. It was 15 years ago that I got into architecture. I have a master's in architecture. While doing so, I asked my thesis advisor if an MBA would help. Of course, he looked at me like I was crazy. And then, of course, it was an obvious, well, yes, that certainly wouldn't hurt. So I went and got studies in management at Harvard. It wasn't the typical MBA with the three little letters at the end. So now I'm in my MBA at Johns Hopkins. During that time, after getting my master's in architecture, it's always the intent to do interior design. I just didn't want to hit a glass ceiling, really, was why I did the architecture degree. So I did interiors for 15 years, high-end residential, high-end hospitality and workplace, and all the while kept gravitating toward the operational side of every business's initiatives outside of the design projects. It was almost like I wanted to do that more than the design projects. And just along the way, finally, with one of the last firms I was at, I was a design director. I was a director of operations, straddling both those roles, as we all often do in small businesses.
Uh-huh.
And I actually asked him if I could just do the director of operations role. That confirmed my suspicions. And I went out and said, I need to go do this for more people, amplify this, because I know it's needed in the industry. Essentially wanting to be the mini McKinsey and Company of the industry. There are others that do coaching, which is great and very valid and needed. Where we differentiate is really being that back end or that back office to the designers. They are in a place that they really can't afford, or neither should they, a full-time person in any one of these roles, whether it be HR or an attorney. And I mean, these are obvious statements, but when you're in the industry of interiors and architecture, it's a small to medium-sized enterprise industry. So we are that back-end office for the industry.
And I love that, right? Because they should be concentrating on their zone of genius. I talk about this all the time, right? What are you really good at? What are you passionate about? Why would you go and do your HR? Why would you go and do your bookkeeping and your accounting? You shouldn't, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that you've created this division, this kind of niche that is designed to help them be more successful doing what they love.
Yeah. And I will tell you, they do try to fill their time with those other tasks because it feels like they're being productive. And I swear half the time it's really because they're nervous and scared to take the next step, to actually hire that person, take the financial leap of even small financial commitment there, right? Like hiring a bookkeeper as a contractor, not full time, but it frees up their time. And then they ask themselves, well, what am I supposed to do? I need to find more business. And so it puts them almost right on the stage of needing to perform. And it's almost performance anxiety. So we go into that, and that's where the coaching aspect obviously really helps, but it's taking that coaching aspect, but making it tactical in that there's a strategy, but then there needs to be something that needs to be executed. And that's really the linchpin in success in my book. Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I see it all the time. Yeah. Right. It's like let's go into that a little bit, because I think it's really important. Despite what your business is, doesn't matter. Everyone does it. So when you have that resistance, like, oh my gosh, I have to go and drum up business. I have to go, like for me, right. I hate networking. I hate quote unquote the networking of the Chamber of Commerce and networking events. Can't stand them. Or you got to pick up the phone and do the follow-ups. Ew, gross, right? And so we have this resistance. And so exactly what you're saying, it's like, oh, well, maybe I'll go do bookkeeping. That sounds better. Ew, gross. So like,
I learned this in architecture school. My thesis, or one of my advisors said, I think you're spinning your wheels. And I think you're doing it because you're scared. You don't, it's, there's fear, there's anxiety, or there's just simple unknown, uncertainty, right? So check yourself on any one of those categories. And if you're, you nod to any one of those, you need to move on and relinquish those responsibilities and open yourself up to the next steps. And that's how we level up, right? And the networking, I've got to say too, it's one thing I dislike so much too, but when someone rephrased it as building relationships, so I try to eradicate the term networking in my vocabulary because it's not, it is just, otherwise it makes the other person feel trashy who I might be talking to because I'm not networking with him. I'm genuinely trying to build a relationship with him. And I hope I don't go too far where I'm like, we're friends, because I do so genuinely appreciate and love their, you know, their friendship.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, again, it's how you phrase it. It's how you frame it in your mind and how you approach it. So let's break that down a little bit. Let's talk about the kind of the psychology, not that we're psychologists, but we do work with a lot of women and see similar traits, right? So what are some ways that you have seen where that help us become aware of what our habits are, our negative habits?
I think if you keep patterns, if you keep catching a pattern, it's a symptom to sit down with yourself and examine that as a, like a scientist. There's a Adam Grant who writes the book, who wrote the book Think Again. And he talks about coming to any situation from a scientist perspective or a scientist mindset. It really takes you as that fly on the wall, as opposed to, oh, I'm the one that caused it, or, you know, pointing fingers sort of thing. So I think if we can take it from a scientist perspective, even about ourselves, we would be able to change our trajectories quite quickly and bounce back faster, right? And that's a solution or a key ingredient to success is being is that resiliency and the bouncing back from our issues, whether they're problems that have been happened or their own patterns that we create.
Completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do a thing where I have my clients write it out, right? If they're not hitting their goals consistently, you know, sometimes life happens, but write out, what is it? What is it that your goal is? Why are you not hitting it? What's getting in your way? What are you feeling internally that's getting in your way? And just writing it out. And then what happens is it just takes it out of your subconscious brain. And it puts it in the forefront where you can see it, but then you can deal with it, right?
I talk about verbalizing it. Just start verbalizing what's going on or whatever the situation is. And that really starts to make it real and allows you to sift through it then. Yeah,
yes, I think totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just brainstorming solutions, right? Yes, so what can you do to get through it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it just really changes the game and helps you build a plan too, right? So when you start seeing it, oh my gosh, look what I'm doing again. I'm doing my bookkeeping, which I hate, or I'm doing, you know, whatever it is. I'm cleaning. In college, I would always, my room was so spotless because I was avoiding studying.
What's that called? Yeah. I'm blanking on the term. Yes. Procrastination, right?
Procrastination.
If you can procrastinate 100%. With something productive, yeah, there's some value in it, I guess. But if it keeps getting in the way of leveling you up, right? That's where we're talking. So
exactly. Right. And so being aware, and then what's your plan to change it, to deal with it, right? Yes. And having that plan in place, because then it makes it so it's easier. It's not as, I don't know, just evasive, I guess. And it just helps you move forward. And then you start building up your confidence, which brings me to the next part of this conversation, Christina. Yes, that was a great
nice segue,
which I wasn't planning. But we were talking before we hit record about women and confidence and what happens when we have it and how it just kind of changes the game. So let's go into that a little bit about how, you know, some of the things that you see and then how you help women or what happens when you see women kind of owning that confidence and stepping into their power.
Yeah. A big thing that happens under the 19th & Co umbrella, right? Because 99% of our clients are women entrepreneurs has to do around money. That's probably one of the first triggers that helps us to break into the conversation of their emotions. They'll talk about what their rates are. I'll tell them, well, industry standard in your area are this. And 9 out of 10 of the times it's lower than what they are charging, those are higher than what they're charging. Right. And that helps us to break into that conversation of, well, your competitors are charging this. Why are you not charging? Oh, well, I need processing. Whatever the excuse is, let's be real, it's an excuse. Right there's my opportunity to help guide them in leveling up in their confidence. And I'll talk about our passion project that we're also working on. But what I mean by that too is just there's no more excuses that can be made. It needs to start being action oriented right here and right now, checking everything else at the door. There's no more reason why you cannot ask for more money or can't go ask for a client, right? From some networking individuals, right? From people in your network. No more excuses is my motto. I don't care what excuse you throw at me, really. And if there is something that is somewhat legitimate, we might time frame that out and say, okay, well, I see that 2 days need to go by and then you can ask and there's a better time. But beyond that, there's no excuses. And it's something that we train in the training program for confidence in the Revolution Confidence, which is the passion project I mentioned just a second ago. And if for nothing else, that does anyone take anything else away from this, is that confidence is a skill and therefore can be learned. Period, the end. It's not this elusive thing. It's not, oh, she has more, you know, he has more. Yes, men tend to have more, which is why we're focused on professional women or women who identify as women or individuals who identify as women first. But it's just key to your success is confidence. And I know you're probably nodding your head saying, yeah, I know, I'm well aware of that. Well, the exciting thing is the knowledge that it is just a skill like glowing and learning Spanish or basketball, and you need to practice it or it will be this elusive thing that in this fleeting. And this is what so many times women experience confidence as fleeting, right? And it's because completely. We're not practicing it.
And I'll tell you, this is a tangible, I mean, I'm getting totally vulnerable right now, but talking about, I'm going to give an example of how the effect is and how, anyway, the effect of it. So when I was in my younger days, I had out of college, we started a company and it grew really fast. And it was successful, right? And we were implementing things and they were working. Who knew? But anyway, I would go to these business events and I would play small. I would act like I didn't know. I wouldn't even be aware of it, but I always felt like everyone else in the room was more, they belonged there more than I did, right? They were more skilled. They were smarter. They were more successful. All of it. That was a subconscious story that was going on in my head. Yes. And so, you know, the way that I talked to them, engaged in them, I felt kind of like they were patting me on the head. It's okay, Midori. We'll help you. We'll help you. And now I look back, I'm like, wait a minute. I know for sure I was more successful than that person. But I played that way. And then as I worked more with, you know, I grew more businesses, I got older and wiser, and worked with more women, I realized, oh my God, wait a minute. I do have a lot to contribute. I do know my stuff, right? And so the confidence just naturally started to build. And I wish that I had someone who was helping me before. I wish that I realized what was going on and I knew where to turn so much earlier, because I would have wasted so much less time. So now when I enter a room, I mean, you and I talk, I love helping others. Yeah. I love helping others. And I can see the confidence part because I can recognize myself in it, right? And I can see when they're playing smaller. And that's, I think, probably one of the things that has helped me the most with coaching my clients is, you know, I'll give another example. I had a client who came to me. She had a PhD. She was a very successful professor, but she wanted to go off on her own and start her own business. And I remember her saying to me, Midori, I'm a university professor. I'm not an entrepreneur. But she was brilliant. And she had PhD. She was amazing. And I remember just saying to her, God, look at you. Look what you're doing. Yes, of course you're an entrepreneur. Now we've worked together for 2 years and she's crushing it. She's going out and she has contracts with large corporations. But at that point, she still had the ability, but she didn't believe in it. And once she got the belief and she stepped into her power, everything shifted. So I love that you have this passion project where you are focusing on that because it's so critical.
Yeah. And I have to circle back to your point about kind of acting small in that environment, or even your client, the PhD, which is like blows our minds, right? How in God's name would she ever feel that way? When I was in my master's in management at Harvard, we were also, my husband and I, tutors in the dorms for 3 years. It was the best life experience I have ever had. And here's why. I don't come from that at all. My husband comes from that lifestyle of Ivy League schools, right? Attorneys, this and that. And so while we were in there as tutors, I got to experience, you know, rightfully admitted students to Harvard as undergrads, questioning if they had slipped through the admission cracks. I'm literally floored sitting in my chair thinking, are you kidding me right now? And time again. And it was mostly women, or the girls, that would have those insecurities. And I saw boys and girls, I'm saying boys and girls because of their age, right?
Right.
Men and women. And it floored me. And it made me realize that I don't care if you get admitted to Harvard, everyone, PhDs, go through that. I can't remember the psychological term. I don't think it's spotlight effect, but that feeling of inadequacy, no matter what, right? So if we all know everyone's going through it, then we all know that it's almost like a sickness, and we have to start getting at the root of it, right?
Yes.
That it's not okay to exist inside of us. So that personal experience is key. You telling me that she has a PhD and it blows our minds that someone like that would be insecure is just at the heart of why we are doing Revolution Confidence and launching that. It's just so necessary. And I think I was sharing to you earlier about, can you imagine if every woman in this world were confident and what this world would look like, right?
Right.
Again, we're going to open it up to men and women and children and seniors and everyone else in the future, but we're starting with women.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that said, building up the confidence, reframing your mindset and looking at your business. And the other thing that we covered is your business, right? And making that shift. If you want to do something different or something bigger, how can you do it based on your skill set, your zone of genius, and what lights you up, right? And so that's why I started Fuel the Fire. That's why you're doing what you're doing now. Was it scary for you when you decided to make that shift?
I think it was more scary staying in the cycle that I was in, which was repeating job after job where I was not as passionate as I knew I could be. That was scarier. So I might as well go take this leap.
Yeah.
The worst it was going to be was repeating the same kind of, dare I say, like dead feeling. Eventually, you know, I loved the hunt for finding a job. I don't know what it was. Loved it. Felt like winning. It was just a competition for me. I'd get the job. I liked it, but I would tap out pretty quickly. And I was so sick of seeing myself go through that cycle. It was really beating me down, wondering if I'm just this flighty person. But I've been doing my business for, 2019, whatever that is. And I've never done anything that long professionally. And it's because I finally found the one. It makes me feel like very much my husband and I've been together for, 26 years. It's akin to finding your one in your personal life, the professional life. And when I finally listened to myself of everything that lit me up inside, I finally found the one. 19th & Co. is this thing, this entity that brings out the best in me. And Revolution Confidence is going to be that next tier or that companion to that, that will bring out more of that personal aspect, just that much more. And it's, so to answer your question, it's scary, but it was scarier staying in the same cycle I was in.
And I think it's about the questions that we ask ourselves, right? Why do I feel scared? What do I want? What's it going to look like 5 years from now if I don't make a change?
Yeah. And I have to call out too, in key to confidence is decisiveness. And it's funny, the world of interior designers are a world of confident women when it comes to their skill set, which is designing, because they have to be decisive. That's what makes them designers and what makes them highly sought after is they can say, ew, no, yes, amazing. Right. And the rest of us, I'm kind of part of that breed. I feel like it's wearing off on that side of things, but so many other people, it's such a subjective category or topic. How can that person be so decisive? Oh my God, they must be an amazing designer, right? When I realized that I think that's the key to confidence, being decisiveness. But let me put a caveat to that. You might be thinking and listening to this like, but I don't know if that's the right decision. It's not about the right decision. It's about making a decision. Make the GD decision to move forward. And I don't care because it's going to be some version of right, some version of wrong. Make the decision, move forward on that, see how things unfold, and then you pivot. So I would say there's three keys to taking the leap and seeing if it's the right thing. It's decisiveness, so you can take that action. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that things will evolve, and then it's pivoting once you've seen that evolution. And that's the key to success.
I completely agree. And not only is that you saying that, but there's a lot of research to back that.
Right. Yes. I'm not yet.
Decisive. Yeah.
I don't want to say that comes from me.
And then just to add on to what you said, the other part of when you make a decision, you go all in. You're not wavering anymore. That's why people, those who are the most successful,
good point.
When they make a decision, they move faster because they're no longer wavering in, should I do this or should I hire that? You know, they make that decision and they're all in. And it may be not completely right, but then you work with it. And you there's just, I think this is a really important factor that we're talking about, because when you do it over and over and over, you build up the habit and you build up the process on how to get through it, right? And so that you keep on up leveling. So even if it's not the right thing, you learn how to pivot, like you said, or to adapt or change and make it work.
Yes, I call them leaps. And so the more we take these leaps and be decisiveness, I have some visualizations in some of the coursework or program we have. And that's like little baby taking baby steps. But then as we become older and wiser, we're able to, and practiced, we're able to take much bigger leaps, right? And the goal is to be able to take those bigger leaps, but acknowledging that in these first leaps, if you're new to these taking leaps concept, they're going to be baby steps and that's okay. But the ultimate goal is to take larger and larger leaps, and that will get you there faster. I have a client who wasn't used to taking leaps, asked about another client she knew that was mine and said, how is she growing her business so fast? And I said, decisiveness. She makes decisions very fast. And that was one of the kind of nail in the coffin of that being a huge contributor to success.
Yeah. And usually one of my last questions is, okay, so what's the key to building, what's one key to building a $1 million business? And I think you just answered it.
I think I would say
decisiveness.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I almost feel bad because I don't mean it to say like, you should know the answer and then take it. It's more just be decisiveness in next steps, right? I want to make that very clear. We all don't know the right answer, but we have to go explore it. And it's the decisiveness to take that exploration.
Yep. I completely agree. So Christine, where can we find out more about you?
Yes, thank you. Head over to our website, 19th & Co, which is 19thandco.com. Or you can reach out to hello@19th or Christine, Christine, @19thandco.com. Also, feel free to give me a call, 415-265-4299. That's our general number. But we're here to, if you're in the world of A&D, here to help. And of course, Even Talk Confidence.
Yeah. Now, is your other division, has it been rolled out yet? Or is it
in it's in beta right now. So if you're interested in being a beta tester, please give me a call or text me. Absolutely. Yes. 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 And yes. Thank you.
Okay. Seriously, if you are suffering with confidence, don't do what I did and just wait for it to come. Get out there and find someone who can help you with it, because it will change your world. You'll be so much more impactful. And that's what this game is, right? That's why you're even listening to this podcast. So thank you so much, Christine. This has been a lot of fun and so helpful.
I appreciate it so much.